Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
A little bit of background about this passage. It was written by Jeremiah, and it was written at one of the darkest times in Israel's history. They're about to lose Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be leveled by Nebuchadnezzar. And he wrote it in tumultuous circumstances. The people to whom he prophesied did not listen, and he was ostracized and completely alone because of what God had called them to do. They did not like his message. He also lamented the consequences of their faithlessness. God allowed them to be conquered by the Babylonians, resulting in their entire world being laid to waste. But in the midst of that utter devastation, Jeremiah still offers them hope on the horizon. They are not completely destroyed because of the Lord's compassion and faithfulness. And in the morning, after this dark night of the soul, things will be better. So whether we are at a place in our lives where everything is pretty ordinary, or whether we are in a period of grief, no matter what our circumstances, God never changes. And God is faithful to us, sustaining us in his compassion and faithfulness each and every day. Amen. So one of the things I want to do is to go through this hymn line by line and give the supporting scriptures. Starting with, "Great is thy faithfulness." Deuteronomy 7:9 reads, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Psalm 36:5, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." And Psalm 89:1, "So I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations." One of the things you and I are called to do is to let people know that God is faithful. And he is always there for us. "O God, my Father." Psalm 68:5 says, "A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation." Isaiah 64:8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and we are all the work of your hand." Everyone in this room is a miracle. It is beyond comprehension. Science will try to explain it by evolution. They will say that you are here from goo to you by way of the zoo. I don't care how they cut it. There is no way for them to explain the miracle that each and every one of us is. Matthew 6, verse 9 says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." By the way, I was thinking about this. I grew up in Winnipeg, and I went to a school that had 1,100 Jewish kids. There was 200 Gentiles. And if you were in a synagogue and we were reading God's word, you'd have to stand. So be thankful we don't do that, because you're going to be standing the whole service. Romans 8, verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we can cry out, Abba, Father." Carrying on in the hymn, "There is no shadow of turning with thee, thou changest not." We do not serve a capricious God, a God who is fickle, a God who changes his mind. Psalm 102:27 says, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." Malachi 3:6, God says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." And the passage we have on the wall, Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." He doesn't change. "Thy compassions, they fail not." Psalm 86, verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 45:8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy." And the last line of the first verse says, "As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, O shadow of turning." How many are thankful that God never changes? We get to verse 2. It talks about nature. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Genesis 8 verse 22 says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." And Psalm 104 verse 19, "He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knows its going down. Sun, moon, and stars and their courses above." Again, science tries to explain everything away. They try to get God out of the equation as quick as they can. What is interesting is to go back and to talk and to read the works of Isaac Newton, Galileo, and the rest, and to realize how strong Christians they were. They looked to God's word for understanding and found it. Science today is fickle. And tries to change everything. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 18. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the book of Job, Job asks a bunch of questions and God says, "Okay, see if you can answer these ones." Job 38, verse 4 through 7. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" What is interesting is if you study physics today and cosmology to understand, there is about 100 factors that determine our universe. Things like strong gravitational force, weak gravitational force, electromagnetic force, on and on. There's 100 of them. And imagine if you had a machine with 100 dials and you had to get it all perfect so that life would exist. Things like the strong gravitational force and the weak gravitational force, if they're adjusted, one part in a million would mean that there would be either nothing but light elements or nothing but heavy. Our universe is balanced perfectly. Why? Because God made it that way. Job 38, verse 31 through 33. "Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Matzeroth in its season, or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth?" What is interesting about that first part where it says, "Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades?" It is, seven stars make up the Pleiades, and they are gravitationally connected. How did Job know that? It's something science only worked out in the last 100 years. How did they know? Because the Holy Spirit told them. "Join with all nature in manifold witness." Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Psalm 97 verse 6, "The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory." Acts 14 verse 17 says, "Nevertheless, he did not leave them without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And Romans 1 which is sometimes a very terrifying chapter to read in light of what I see in our society today. But verse 20 says this, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." No one can say that they couldn't see God. Nature itself testifies. Next line, "To thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love." Numbers 23, verse 19 says, "God is not a man that he should be, nor a son of man that he should repent." Pardon me, that he should lie. "Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" God holds his word even higher than his name. And everything that was prophesied in the Bible will come true. There were 333 prophecies regarding his first coming, every one of which was fulfilled. There are 555 regarding his second, and we are seeing them fulfilled in our generation. One of the things that we have on the wall there is Jesus Christ, our Savior, Healer, Baptizer, and soon coming King. Our Lord is coming soon. John 17, verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." 1 John 5, verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And we get to the third verse, pardon for sin. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Micah 7, verses 18 through 19. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Ephesians 1, verse 7. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Hebrews 8, 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." I am so thankful for that. Amen. 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And a peace that endureth. In the Bible, by the way, peace is not just the absence of trouble, but the presence of God in the midst of it. No matter what we are going through, we need to know that God is with us and sustains us and walks and guides us. John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I always get nervous when there's Christian messages out there that says God has to make life easy for you. It's not what Jesus said. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Next line, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. From the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And strength for today. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in ours, in his. Exodus 15, verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. In Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that clock at the back, it's counting up. It's a good thing not counting down. And bright hope for tomorrow. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Romans 15, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I chose to use that one again because it's so important for us to remember that. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, not some things, all things, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed are the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Thomas Chalmers wrote this. This was said about the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Unlike many hymns that have heart-wrenching stories behind them, for instance, It Is Well With My Soul, which was written after the sinking of the Titanic. Great is Thy Faithfulness is inspired by the simple realization that God is at work in our lives on a daily basis. Thomas Chisholm wrote, "My income has not been large at any time due to impaired health in the earlier years, which has followed me until now. Although I must not fail to record here the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, for which I am filled with astonishing gratefulness." This hymn reminds us that God doesn't only work in the dramatic and miraculous ways, but also in the simple, everyday ways. He also reminds us that Jesus has never failed us in the past, so we have no reason to doubt his faithfulness in the future. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.